Hey everybody, Rob Cesternino, and we have something a little different today. Of course, it's Valentine's Day coming up this weekend, and everybody knows I'm a big romantic. I always make a big deal out of Valentine's Day, of all sorts of pomp and circumstance, and all sorts of different things that I like to do on Valentine's Day. And the best part about Valentine's Day are surprises that you give to the special people in your life. That's why I wanted to do this sort of impromptu podcast today. And I got a chance to catch up with Francesca Hoagie, who was the first person who was kicked off Survivor in not one, but two different seasons. But she is here with us to talk about some dating and relationship stuff because she is a dating and relationship coach. And I wanted to find out a little bit more about what she is up to. She's been making appearances on the Today Show talking about this sort of thing. So I thought it'd be a fun thing to do here on Valentine's Day to talk to somebody with this vast knowledge base in the Survivor community. So this is an interview that I recorded back at the Podcast One studio. So that's going to be what's coming up here today on the podcast. But before we get to everything with Francesca, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode, which is our friends at naturebox.com. Now, for Valentine's Day, you know, people want to give you chocolate and all sorts of stuff that's going to make you get off your diet. And who wants to do that? I mean, you have people who are trying to stay healthy and work hard and try to look good. And then you give them a bunch of chocolate and you could totally derail everything they're trying to do. Why don't you give your significant other some healthy snacks this year for Valentine's Day and get them a Nature Box? Because life's busy. You need to have things to snack on. And so you could get a bunch of junk or you can get some healthy, delicious snacks from NatureBox that aren't going to make you feel bad about yourself after you have them. So they've got over 100 nutritionist approved snacks, which you can check out, all with no artificial flavors, no artificial colors or sweeteners, no grams of the trans fat, no high fructose corn syrup. It's the Valentine's Day gift that really says, I love you and I care about you. So avoid the afternoon slump. You don't want to be with somebody who's hungry or irritable, and they probably don't want to be with you either if you're hungry or irritable. You can get all sorts of different Nature Box snacks. I love the dark cocoa almonds, peanut butter nom noms, pistachio power clusters, all sorts of great stuff. They got something for everybody, and you can get a chance to get a free Nature Box, a trial box with five of the most popular snacks. You heard me. Free snacks. Start your free trial right now by going to naturebox.com/RHAP. You know you're going to snack. Get smart about it with NatureBox. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP and get a free trial box of delicious snacks. And now let's go ahead and hear my interview with Francesca. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a very special edition of Rob Has a Podcast today. I am Rob Cesternino, and we have a guest here in the studio for a special dating and relationship cast. We're getting close to Valentine's Day, so this is something that people had asked for a while, and we are making it happen today because the person who is here to answer all of your dating and relationship questions is here. It's Francesca Hoagie, and she is a dating and relationships coach and matchmaker.
Woo!
Yes, hey. Franny, how
yes.
are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm so happy to be here.
We are great. Here. Yeah, we're here today. We're at Podcast One. We're here in the studio, so we're in person, and Franny is in town, and I said, let's do this. People have been asking for it, and Franny was good enough to come in and talk to us, and I have a lot of questions from people.
This is so exciting.
That hopefully you can give some good relationship advice for Valentine's Day.
Well, I can certainly give advice.
Yes, good, good. Well, Franny, first off, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm really good.
Yes, yeah. Well, very excited to see you. I saw you briefly back in New York when we did the last live know-it-all show.
Yes, very briefly.
And you are you're always back and forth between the two coasts.
I am bicoastal.
Yes.
Living the dream.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll have relationship or questions about people in bicoastal relationships.
Yeah. There are a lot of us, actually.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon these days.
Are you in a bicoastal relationship?
I am. Well, actually, I just got out of my bi-coastal relationship
okay.
about very recently. But,
all right.
But I was. It was working. That wasn't the problem.
Okay. So the bi-coastal wasn't the
that
problem.
That was not the problem.
There were other problems. Yes. And you couldn't coach yourself through or coach your partner through the relationship?
I felt that it was uncoachable.
Uncoachable.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's...
It was an uncoachable moment. Sometimes it is. You have to know when to, you know, know when to hold them and when, know when to fold them.
Yeah, and that's not a failure when you have to say that this isn't working, let's get out of this. It's not that you're giving up. Sometimes it's like that the win is knowing that this isn't right and you got to move on.
Yeah, but I just met this new guy who is bi-coastal.
Yes.
And it's very exciting because we're going out in L.A. and then we're going to go out in New York in a week and a half. So we're really excited. We decided, like, whether we kind of hate each other or not, we're
yes.
still going to do our... bi-coastal dating. We're going to keep that thing happening at
okay.
least for two dates, and then we'll see.
Good, good. And so, Franny, now this is a newer venture for you, right?
Yes, this is a relatively new venture.
Because when you were on Survivor, we knew you as a lawyer.
Yes, that is what I was. I guess I technically still am.
And was that something that you were you unhappy with being a lawyer, or this was something that really spoke to you and you know took you away from something that you were already enjoying doing?
Yeah, you could do worse things and be a lawyer, but it was never something that I really wanted to do. It was something that I did because, you know, I was doing what I was supposed to do in life, which is go to school and get a good job or whatever. But
yeah.
I've been looking for an exit strategy.
Right.
And I'm just kind of a person who loves talking about dating and relationships, and I always have been. And I used to have a dating advice blog years ago before, just for fun. And, you know, so it was once I discovered that this was an actual profession, I was like, oh, I could do that. Yes, I'll do that.
Yeah. And so how do people find you that you help them with dating stuff?
Mostly by referral.
Yes.
I've been appearing on the Today Show and this.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that as well, how that started.
So that's been going well, and so I've been getting a lot of people reaching out to me because of that, and
so somebody reaches out to you sort of like one on one, and you work with people like individually.
Yes, I work with people individually. Yeah.
So you're like the real life Hitch.
there have been some clients where we have gone shopping, and I've gone through their closets with them and that sort of thing. That's not typically what I do, but it's very customized. So
who reaches out to you? A guy or a girl or both?
Mostly women.
Mostly women.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you go through their whole life and sort of say, okay, well, this is what might be the problem. This is going to be the problem, or these are some guys that I found that would be good for you.
Yeah. So it depends. So if they're matchmaking clients, that I am setting them up on dates. So I'm doing more coaching now and less matchmaking. So it's really about getting to know the client really well, what their values are, what they're looking for in a partner, and then talking about their relationship history and like, okay, how have you gotten to this point? What are the choices you made? There's always a pattern. So.
Wow. So you come in and you're sort of like a new best friend.
Yeah. I'm like a mentor, big sister or sometimes little sister.
Yeah.
Best friend who's like going to hold you accountable because, we're going to make a plan. And then, there's that accountability because you're going to have to talk to me every week.
And what's the time frame from when you come in and you meet a person and you sort of like start getting a sense of what they're doing to when you're ready to fix them up with people?
So for matchmaking clients, it's usually about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So before I'm ready to, before I feel ready to set them up on a date.
And where do you find the guys that you match
everywhere.
Up? The guys are everywhere. There's no shortage of the guys.
There's no shortage of guys. I mean, I've gone up to strange guys on the subway because I've seen a guy. I'm like, I know that my client, like, I just the look of him.
You go up to strange guys on the subway?
I have done that.
Yes.
Yes.
What makes them strange?
Well, I mean, they're strangers.
Okay, they're strangers.
Meaning I do not know them.
Yes, but they're not necessarily like, you know.
No, they're not. They don't look like weirdos. That would not be good business for me.
Have you ever either matched up anybody from the Survivor world, or have you ever taken somebody that is from outside that with somebody in the Survivor world?
There has been some Survivor world
Interesting. So if somebody...
Situations.
Have you had a client who was somebody from the Survivor world that you sent out to match up with other people?
No, I haven't had an actual client, but I have had people from the Survivor world who have been matches.
Okay, so you found guys that were from the Survivor world and you put them with normal women.
Yes.
And how did that work out?
Not badly.
Not badly.
No one's getting married.
Nobody's getting married.
Yeah.
Okay. This is very fascinating.
It's pretty fascinating. Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty lucky that this is what I get to do.
And so how did you parlay this into now you appear on the Today Show? You've been on with Kathy Lee and Hoda a couple times, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to keep doing that. So we'll be doing a Valentine's show and another show in February. And yeah.
Okay. So how did that come out?
That was really random. I went to this event because I'm always, you know, meeting people because I need to meet people for my work. And I met a woman who's a hypnotherapist.
Whoa.
And she was doing a singles event and she invited me to come to her singles event and be like a matchmaker at her event.
Was part of the singles event her hypnotizing people?
It was kind of more of like a networking thing for her to like kind of explain to people how hypnotherapy can help you in dating.
Okay.
Right? So, because it just helped you like... overcome like fears and blocks and that sort of thing. So I was like, okay, sure, I'll do that. And so I went to this event and there were all these women there who were looking to meet men, and there were only two men, and they were kind of strange, frankly. And so I was like, okay, this is not gonna be matchmaking. So instead I just like stood up and I just, you just basically just gave a talk about like, these are some different things you can do to start meeting more guys. These are some different ways you can approach dating. And there just happened to be a Today Show producer there at the event. And she came up to me afterwards and was like, hey, would you ever want to be on the Today Show?
I was
like, sure, I'll do that. That's no problem.
Good for you. This is very exciting.
Thank you.
Very exciting. All right. So let's go ahead and let's get to some questions. I'm sure we'll go in all sorts of different tangents as we go along the way. But let's get started. What I asked people to do was to send in some emails. I set up an email address, which was askfranny@robiswebsite.com. Probably should have gone with Dear Franny,
Dear Franny
in hindsight.
That is my social media moniker.
Yes.
Dear Franny. Yes.
Yes. Used to be Dear Yo Franny, right?
Yeah, it used to be. Yeah, I when I first had my first Twitter account back in 2008 or whatever, like a long time ago. And after the first time I went on Survivor, this is when they were still really strict about the media stuff. So they told us that we all had to delete our social media accounts.
You had to delete?
So I deleted my original Twitter account. And I couldn't get that name back. So that's why I'm now Dear Franny.
What do you think about the survivors on social media? Do you think the survivors should be allowed to tweet during the show? It's been a very highly contested thing that people have talked about a lot. Oh, the survivors tweet too much. Now they're not allowed to tweet.
I don't think that I think that they should be allowed to be on social media, but I don't think they should tweet during the show.
Yeah, because it was during Redemption Island that was the when Jeff Probst announced Boston Rob is on Twitter. And that really sort of started to open the floodgates.
Yeah, yeah. It's just. I mean, inevitably, like you can just tell if people. You can get a sense of how well they did. You know, it's like it just ruins it for people.
Yeah. Now like, the toothpaste is out of the tube.
Yeah. Just like keep it. Shut it.
All right. Well, let's.
I like my own sound effect.
Yeah, that was good. We didn't even have that on the soundboard. Okay. So let's start with. This is from. I'm sort of two minds if I should change the names of people, but so I'm gonna just give initials.
Okay.
Okay. This is from a woman whose name starts with P.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh. Penelope, Phoebe,
yes,
Philippa.
Okay, not Philippa.
Penny. No, that's a Pauline, Paulette.
All right.
Paula.
Okay. Dear Franny and Rob, I have a massive crush on a guy at work, and we are friends, but he has a girlfriend. How do I get over my crush without ruining the friendship? All right, so this isn't even like how do I. Break up.
You're not even.
The
she's
relationship.
Not even going for it. She just wants to. She wants to be friends without having a crush on him.
Yeah. How do you get? How do you get over?
I have so many questions.
How do you get over a crush?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be really hard. Okay. First of all, he's your coworker, right? And I understand. I've had very friendly coworkers. I've had best work friends. I had a best work friend who turned into my live-in boyfriend.
Whoa.
I've been in that situation.
Did you still work together when you were boyfriend and girlfriend?
We did still work together when we were boyfriend and girlfriend.
What was that like?
And we still worked together after we broke up.
Oh boy. Yeah, because that must be
that was very difficult. Yeah, I seriously told him, I said, I will kill you if I have to keep seeing you here. You have to leave. And he did.
Do you have to leave the workplace or you have to leave the house?
The workplace.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did.
He did.
Yeah. That's tough. I once had a roommate that I worked with also, and it was, I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah. It's a lot. But so back to Paula, I'm going to call her Paula.
Okay. That's fine.
No idea what her name is, but, Paula's question. I think that, you know, you're just going to have to distance yourself from him. I mean, there's not, you can't just flip that switch and say, okay, suddenly I'm not going to like this person. I mean, now he's forbidden fruit and, you know, he's a distraction for you at work, and it's only going to escalate. It's not, you know, so if you, to the extent that you can just really keep it professional and friendly and keep it moving. But you know what you also need to do is just get some, like, go on, start dating other people. Like, you need some other outlets for your romantic energies.
Okay, so find other guys around that also work in the office?
Preferably not working in the office.
Yeah. See, this is why I work by myself, Franny. Because then
or with your wife.
There's no temptation. Yeah, we'll see. I don't think there's any temptation there on her part either of in our workplace. So she doesn't have a crush on anybody that she works with at the house. I want to see if we can get Nicole on this show also. We'll see.
Hopefully.
I texted her, and maybe we can get her in to talk, see if she has any relationship issues that she needs your help on, if she wants to recruit you as a relationship coach.
Okay.
But that being said, should this person, should she also try to think of, like, all of the negative qualities of this person? Like, really try to hype up all of the bad things about this person?
Well, I think, you know, rather than doing that, she should just focus on the fact that he is not available to her.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to be in a relationship with someone, like, you know, he's just not available to you. So
yeah.
He's not your man. He's somebody else's man.
Somebody else's.
So it's time, you have to go out and find your own man.
But if you don't think about all the negative things, then you could be like on the sidelines, like, yeah, but if he just broke up, then I could be right there.
Yeah. Well, but that doesn't even seem like, that's not even what she's going for. So her question implies to me that she knows this is not happening with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's not happening with this guy because he's really in love with his girlfriend and that relationship is solid, or whether she just has no reason to think that there's any mutual.
She's just a girlfriend, though. He didn't put a ring on it.
You know, I must say, my father, who was a very.
Mr. Hoagie. Yes.
Mr. Hoagie, who was a very conservative man. And this is kind of surprising. Like, if you had known my dad, because you'd be like, really? He would say this, but he would always say, until he's walked down the aisle, he's available.
Okay.
Because he was a big believer in marriage and, you know, all that stuff. So, I agree that she does need to make sure she's not putting him on a pedestal. Because it's very easy when you're not in a relationship with someone and you don't have that intimacy and you don't have to deal with all of their crap and their issues to be like, oh, this person's so amazing. And it's all kind of a fantasy. I mean, not that he isn't amazing, but, you know, there's a flip side to it for sure.
Can't put the person on a pedestal.
You can't put the person on a pedestal. And also, if he is kind of encouraging this crush at all, then that's a big red flag.
Yes.
And you don't want to be with somebody who, even if you were with him, if he had that, you know, in him to be like encouraging other women to, you know, get in on the party.
All right. Yeah, that party is closed. All right. Here is a question, and I realized maybe instead of initials, what I should do is use the name that they are signing these letters with.
Okay, yeah, okay. Let's do that.
All right, and if they didn't sign,
you didn't like me guessing every P.
Well, it defeats the purpose of me trying to keep it anonymous if you're going to guess.
Patty.
Yes,
Patricia.
Yes, they're no longer anonymous once you guess. All right. So here's another question. Okay, this question says, "Dear Franny, I'm gay, but I don't have great gaydar, and I don't think I give it off either, which makes it challenging to meet people.
Yeah.
I have a crush on my coworker. What's with all these coworkers? It's like I forgot what it's like to work in an office.
Yeah.
I guess you have some...
It's like
Jim and Pam all over the place.
It's like Jim and Pam.
All right. I have a crush on my coworker, and I feel like he is extra friendly to me at work, and he also initiated a chat with me immediately after adding him on Facebook, but I wonder if I'm reading too much into these behaviors because of my attraction. What are some signs I should be looking for to determine if this guy is gay and interested in me? And how could I figure out whether he's gay and or available without making things awkward at work? Sincerely, Glitchy Gaydar.
Wow.
GG.
GG, Glitchy Gaydar. Wow, this is a tough situation.
What do you think GG stands for?
I think his name is George Glass.
George Glass. Yes. Corinne posted on Instagram recently about George Glass.
Did she? Maybe that's why I had him on the brain.
Yes. Yes. While she was posting about all her Valentine's. All right. So Glitchy Gaydar works in an office.
Well, they're friends on Facebook, and he can't discern whether or not.
Well, I wonder if this person, because he doesn't have good gaydar, I wonder if maybe this person is not out, or yeah. maybe is well, if he's not out, then it secretly could be, or maybe
yeah.
could be potentially interested in
yeah.
This relationship.
Gosh. It's so hard to. I wish we had these people so I could ask some follow up questions. Because I guess apparently Glitchy Gaydar is not out, right? So,
Well,
or not out at work at least, and which
I'm not necessarily sure about that because he says I am gay. I don't have great gaydar, but I don't think I give it off either, which makes it challenging to meet people. So I'm not sure if necessarily that glitchy gaydar isn't out of the closet, but maybe strangers may not automatically
right.
know. That he's gay.
Right. But his coworker would know that he was gay if he
yes.
was out. So,
yes.
So that is.
So maybe he is out. The coworker knows and maybe is on the Facebook
yeah.
Talking to him again.
Yeah.
And Francesca, I'll tell you right now, I've got that chat turned off on Facebook. I feel like very little comes good out of that yeah. Facebook chat.
Yeah. I don't have it on my phone, so if I don't happen to be on my computer, I'm not chatting with you on Facebook.
I turned it on one time for half an hour. I turned it right off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out. Facebook chat.
There are so many gray areas in this situation. I mean, first of all, there is the workplace romance, which we've already discussed, and that can be really challenging. I don't know what kind of work environment. I mean, it may just be another situation where you need to just go and meet people outside
right.
of your office.
Right.
Because this may be a slippery slope and, not really a good situation to get into anyway, regardless of all these other issues.
But
right?
if somebody just starts hitting you up on the Facebook chat right after you add them,
yeah.
is that a sign?
I mean, I would, based on knowing very little about the situation, assuming that Gigi is out of the closet, I would say that there is a good chance that his coworker is
yeah.
interested.
What time of day was it? Was it nighttime? Was
yeah,
it after 9 p.m.?
There's so many follow-up questions.
It's like the Gremlins.
What did he say in the chat? There's so many questions. Yeah, if it was 11 o'clock at night and he's like, hey, and then started, yes, I think that he's interested in it.
Yeah, but if the message was like, hey, do you have that report for tomorrow?
Right.
I've been trying to get a copy of it. It's very interesting. And you don't do the Facebook chat, right?
No, I'm not. I met that Today Show producer, and then when I got the actual invitation to be on the show, it was via Facebook message.
Facebook message, that's different.
Yeah.
Facebook
yeah.
message, that's like email. But Facebook
yeah.
chat,
yeah,
that's
no, no,
where
I'm not on that.
The
no.
shenanigans.
Yeah,
happen.
I'm not on that. No.
What about Tinder? You go on Tinder?
Yeah, I actually am a fan of Tinder.
Really?
I know. Everyone's surprised by that. But I think that.
Can you show me how it works?
Yes.
That I really want to know about Tinder, but I'm afraid to make a profile that my wife is going to get mad at me. And then people are going to say, do you know that Rob is on Tinder?
Yeah.
But I really am very interested as even just a person who studies social media, I'm really interested to see how Tinder works.
Tinder is awesome. I think, well, your wife can't really get, you're on your podcast announcing that you want to be on Tinder.
I don't want to be on Tinder.
Okay.
I don't want to, and maybe we can ask her. Okay. So
this is how it works. So
here's
somebody,
Tinder.
So it goes by your location.
Yes.
So
now that you're here in Los Angeles, it's not showing you guys in New York.
It's showing me guys who are within, I don't know.
It's showing you guys that are out here in Los Angeles who are guys who are like they're on the jury.
People on the jury are usually very frustrated, and they want to get it in.
So, so whatever radius I'm on, 20 miles. I have no idea. So
20 miles away.
20 miles away. So,
and this is the guy's real name.
This is his real name.
Not a nickname.
Because it's linked to your Facebook profile. So
like he couldn't
so
go
pulls.
On. He couldn't go on Tinder and call himself like the specialist, for
no.
instance.
He would have to change his name to that on Facebook.
Okay, so I can do your Facebook. book name.
So you get your first name, the age, and if we had any friends in common. And this is actually, yes, when I started using Tinder, this is why I was using it, because this helped me for matchmaking. I would get guys off Tinder for matchmaking.
Let me just set up for people who are like, who are married people or people who aren't into all these social networks. So Tinder is the best networking site where you meet people that are available and they are looking to hook up, not necessarily to go on Tinder for a relationship.
People are looking for so there's a common misconception that people on Tinder are only looking for hookups. People on Tinder, there's everything. There are people on Tinder who are looking for a husband or a wife, and there are people on Tinder who are looking for somebody like in 10 minutes.
Okay, so how do you know who's who?
Okay, so when I look at this profile, so this guy, he has not written anything about himself.
Can we say his first name?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Okay. And can you describe this guy that we're looking at?
I mean, he's whitish, bald.
Yeah, he has
He looks older than 35, just because maybe he's just prematurely gray in his beard there.
He has some sort of like glasses. Hipster glasses and a scarf.
He looks kind of, you know.
Oh, you can see
dapper,
multiple pictures.
Dapper.
Because I've looked at a lot of apartments lately, and that's a nice feature to have more than one look.
Yeah. So he looks like, I'd say this is a guy who obviously he cares about his appearance. He looks like he's wearing, you know, I guess he has some means, whatever. I'm not interested in this guy. So I'm going to say no, right? So you have these buttons. You can either click the X or the heart, right?
Yes.
Or you can swipe. Wait, I always get this confused. Oh, shoot. Wait, I don't want to say yes by accident. Okay, I can't remember which way to say no. So I'm just gonna hit X because I don't want to accidentally swipe. Because you can swipe.
And you say no.
Okay, oh yeah, so you swipe left.
Yes.
You swipe left for no. Okay.
Yes. And do you program in like what your preferences are? Like I like guys that without glasses, or I like guys with brown hair.
You can only say
everybody.
Say gender and age range. And
you can't say height. You can't say nothing. Any aesthetic preference.
No. So, okay, look at this guy. He looks nice looking. Okay, his name is Jed. Okay, look. Okay, this is great because Jed said I have more information about Jed here.
Okay,
because it's linked to Facebook, if we had any mutual friends, they would show up here. And if we have any shared interests.
Yes, your shared interests are TED conferences.
Are TED conferences. I'm obsessed with TED. I'm obsessed with TED Talks. Obsessed.
Really?
Yes. It's like it's like a slippery slope.
I like to put TED Talks on like when I can't go to sleep at night. I put them on. I can't find that one that's like 17 minutes. I want like 5 minutes and then that's good.
I love TED Talks. Okay, so this guy. So he says some stuff about himself. He's Jed. He's 6'1".
And he likes Ted.
He's Jed. He likes Ted. He's a writer. He's an actor. It looks like he's got a website here, like his blog or something.
Right.
Okay, but he says, I'm not here for hookups, as crazy as it sounds. I'm looking for a girlfriend, just saying.
Now, is that a thing that...
Did I make that up, Rob?
Okay, it says that, but does he really want that? Does that help him get the hookups, though, that he's saying, like, I'm not here for just hookups, but then he really is for, like, if a guy posted on Tinder, like, I'm just, like, I just want to get it in, then women, that guy would have to be really hot, right?
He would have to be really hot, or maybe he's not getting women who are that hot. You know what I mean? You know, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just say yes to Jed just out of what, you know, why not?
Yeah.
So Jed and I were a match.
Oh, he liked you.
He liked me.
Okay. So this is how you're a matchmaker. You just get a Tinder.
He liked me. I can start chatting with him now if I wanted to.
But
I'm chatting with you, so I won't.
And he already went through the everything. Now, are you just seeing the guys that said they liked you? Is that how it works?
So everyone that I'm seeing has either said that they like me or they haven't seen me yet.
So it's a good self-esteem boost that you can see, like, oh, here's a lot of people that might like you.
Yeah. So for our first two. Callers here, well, you know, for George Glass and for Paula, they should get on Tinder and, you know, boost their self-esteem.
So what we're saying is that don't even worry about coworkers. Forget about these coworkers. It's just going to be all sorts of problems. Go on Tinder and then you meet random people. And then if it doesn't work out, you never see them again. But as opposed to these coworkers.
Yeah, who you have to then work with.
Yeah, forget about the coworkers.
Yeah.
Jim and Pam, that's over. Now it's Jim and Ted.
Yeah.
Or Jed.
Or Jed.
Jed. Jed and Pam. Forget Jim and Pam. It's Jed and Pam now. It's 2015. And so this is very interesting.
So the last thing I want to say to Gigi is really, if assuming that Gigi is out, because I think, you know, and you can attest to this as a straight guy, like, you know, if a straight guy knows that you're gay, he's probably not going to be like Facebook chatting you in a way that could give you a question mark of whether or not he's, you know what I mean? So, that is most straight guys. So if he knows that you're gay and he's still like trying to Facebook chat with you and make it getting personal with you, then I would say that he's interested.
Now, I can't just go on I can't just go on Tinder and make a profile just for the self-esteem bump, just to find out these are people that
who would theoretically
like
maybe
me. Yes.
Like me on
Tinder. Who would maybe and then say, okay, now I'm feeling not as bad about myself.
I think that you should just know that
that's cheating if you make a Tinder profile but don't do anything.
That's Tinder cheating.
Tinder cheating. All right.
Tinder reading.
But that's a good question. Well, let's write that down for when we call Nicole. ask about that. Okay, that's good. But that's good. I feel like this is very exciting. There's no reason why people should be alone in 2015.
If you want to go out and date and meet people, you can do that easily.
All the years I was unhappy and without a date, then, you know, that would all be a thing of the past now.
That would be a thing of the past,
yes. In 2015.
Yeah.
That it's just a matter of just, you know, you just got to keep, you got to work it, either get on Tinder, call Franny.
Yeah, you have to be proactive, you know.
Got to be proactive.
If something's not working, then you have to change something.
Yes, yes. All right, well, let's keep going. Let's get some more questions. All right, here is one. All right. This is from one of our younger listeners. And I don't know if everybody, if there should have been younger people listening to this podcast.
Oh, okay.
Here's a question. This is from a guy who doesn't sign us. We'll just call the, his name starts with P and that's it.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Rob and Francesca, I'm a shy 16-year-old. I've never had a girlfriend. I do really like a certain girl though. I go to school with her. She's a grade below me and I never see her during the day. I used to text her quite often, though. Last September, I got the courage to ask her to homecoming, and she said yes. We went, and we had a great time.
Oh, amazing.
When we slow danced, she held my hand and put her head on my shoulder and everything.
This is amazing.
And after that, I really thought she liked me back. But in November, I told her how I felt, and although she said that she didn't feel the same way, she just wanted to be friends. After that, I felt so self-conscious about texting her that I just kind of stopped. We only talked a few times since then, but I really wanted her to be my girlfriend. Do you have any advice for me, Franny? Okay,
oh,
so what's
goodness.
The youngest age that you'll work with people? They have to not be a minor.
They have to not be a minor.
You don't do any sort of like MasterChef Junior of like matchmaking for high school students.
No, that's a good idea, though.
Yes. Until the parents sue you.
Yeah.
Have you arrested?
I'll have to release this sign.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. This kid, he sounds lovely. I think that, you know, it sounds like this ship has sailed with this girl. You know, it sucks. And there is not a person on this planet, especially when they were teenagers, who not have the feeling of, you know, liking somebody and not having that feeling reciprocated or, you know, getting dumped or disappointed. So I totally empathize with what you're going through, but I think that you should move on from this girl. And, you know, in terms of you guys just being friends, that's not really going to work because you really, really like her.
Yeah.
So your attempt to just be friends with her would just be an attempt to, you know, be her girlfriend, be her boyfriend. But I think that, again, this is honestly, the cure is like no pining allowed.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
I think that, you know, to speak to any of the 16-year-olds that are in our audience, and, you know, this happens a lot, and I have a friend of mine who is a younger guy. He's somebody that I was introduced to a long time ago, and I have sort of like a big brother, little brother relationship, and he's, you know, pines over a woman for a year or so, and, you know, I just feel like telling him, like, hey, the you of the future would be so annoyed, or he thinks you're so being so silly right now that you're just obsessing over this person who 5 years from now you're not even going to care about. Yeah. So the sooner you
move... 5 years from now, I'll probably want to date you, but...
maybe that is the case. Yeah.
But for now, yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
And so just, you know, if it's not working, you just got to move on. And, yeah, and don't get too caught up about these people that, you know, in the big picture of your life, are really just going to be, you know, sort of just a, you know, a blip on the radar, as opposed to, you know, the people that are going to be much more bigger factors in the story of you.
Yeah. And but I also, I mean, but I really applaud him because, you know, he
for liked, listening to the podcast.
For listening to the podcast. But he, you know, he liked somebody. He went forward. He asked her out. They had a great date. Like, I mean, listen, there are plenty of, you know, 26 and 36 year old men who can barely get the courage to ask a woman out that they like. So the, I'm like, I'm a big fan of this kid and I want him to, you know, meet some more girls who are into him, because I'm sure those girls exist. Even his eyes are probably not open to them right now because he's so focused on this one. But, you know,
yeah,
look around you and try to date somebody who appreciates you.
Okay. All right. Here's a question. This is from somebody, a guy that his first name starts with G. Okay.
Okay.
G, he says...
I thought we weren't doing that. It's too distracting. All I can think of is every G male name I can think of.
Okay. This is from... all right. He signs this as Gareth. Okay?
Okay.
So I'm just going to... That's what he signs it as. Okay. Is what I'm going to get.
There are lots of Gareths out there.
Dear Franny.
Hey, Gareth.
My girlfriend is what you would call an oversharer, whereas I'm much more of a private person. I have a possibly unfounded fear that she shares intimate details about me with her gal pals. How do I address the subject tactfully, and how uncommon is it for women to do this in general? This is a good question.
This is a really good question,
good
Gareth.
Question.
Oh, I don't think he's going to like my answer.
Okay, well, good. Let's get into this, because we need to know the truth.
Okay, I will preface this by saying that... you know, the way that people conduct themselves in one area of life is generally a good indicator of how they conduct themselves in other areas of their lives. So if you know your girlfriend to be a person who overshares, and maybe she, you know, tells you a lot of things about that people have told her in confidence, and she's, you know, all that sort of, like, if you know her to be that person, it is a safe assumption that she is oversharing details about you. Now, it could also be that you're just the one person in the world she tells everything to. So you know her better than I do, obviously. So, you know her interactions. Is she somebody, is she blabbermouthing to everyone? Or is she, you know, actually very respectful and doesn't overshare with other people, and she's saving it all for you? Because she's saving it all for you, that's one thing. But if you know this is her character, then you know, there is a good chance that she's sharing intimate details. And yes, there are plenty of women who share intimate details about their guys. And you know, and sometimes it's not until, like, the relationship is over. And then it's like, okay, now this relationship is over. Let me tell you everything. But yes, there are plenty of women who share.
How common is this, Franny? How common is it that you're sitting there with, you know, Eliza and it's the Sex and the City brunch and... And you're Courtney Yates, and you're sitting there and talking about...
We're in a time machine. We went back to 2003 to have a Sex and the City brunch.
Yes. And and the mimosas are flowing.
Yeah.
And then is this a common thing? Are the women
we really share information. But it also depends. I mean, I think at this point in my life, I have, like, the emotional, like, maturity and also, like, the respect for my relationships that I'm not going to ever tell all of the intimate details. I'm just not. That's just not the person that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want somebody doing that to me.
Yeah.
So it depends. But it's, you know, if somebody is really, if you guys are really in a committed relationship, that's when it tends to be more respectful, I think.
Yes.
And you share a little bit less. But yeah, it's if it's talking about, like, some guy that you just went out with, or, like, you know, you just gone out with this guy 3 times and you just slept together and it was terrible. Like, yes, your friends are going to hear all the details about that.
Good or bad. So if it could be good and you're also going to tell that story.
Well,
also,
if it was really good and you're going to continue dating,
yes,
I'll hear it's good, maybe not hear every detail. But if it was bad, I'm going to hear every detail.
Really? So you get, like, the whole, like, Yelp review,
it's like,
if it's bad?
It's like, like, I think it's cathartic. It kind of helps you like get, you know, like laugh at the situation, laugh at yourself, and then also just have that like camaraderie, like, because everyone, we've all had those like terrible experiences. So
yeah,
you know.
So when it's bad, like what's the things that are bad about it? It's like this guy, he smelled, or this guy, you should have seen it, that he was like when he took his shirt off.
Yeah,
this
now that I know that there are minors listening to this podcast.
Yeah. So you're talking about,
I want to,
you get into the specifics, yes, of talking about this person's anatomy.
That happens. That totally happens.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Garrett,
yeah, come on.
Garrett, turn off the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
There are many men's genitalia,
yes,
that I have not personally seen.
Yes,
or,
but you
but
have,
I know about them.
You have a working knowledge.
I have a working knowledge of what's happening.
And then if you saw one of your friends talking to this person, you would say, you would give them a bad recommendation. Say, listen, let me tell you about this guy.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay,
I wouldn't do that.
You would not.
No.
Do all of the people that you set up, these guys that you know, have you heard good things about these guys that you are setting your clients up with?
Every man who's ever been on Survivor is very amazing and virile. And yes.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true. No. I haven't heard anything. I told you, nothing bad. Nothing bad at all.
So when you have these clients and say it doesn't work out with the women,
yeah,
that you set up,
it's just that they just didn't hit it off that way. I mean, no one's had, you know, a terrible date. No one's, it's not like a sex thing. It's not anything like,
yeah,
that. It's just, you know.
But you get a scouting report. Like,
oh,
like,
I do. Yeah.
So when you have these female clients and you set these women up with a guy,
mm-hmm,
and then they go out on a date and then they, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out, do you say, could you give me the scouting report on this guy? Could you give me the everything that's going on there?
Yeah.
And then I know whether or not to keep this guy in the rotation.
Yeah. If a matchmaking client goes out on a date, I get feedback from both the guy and from my client.
Yeah.
So I get the lowdown from both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In some ways, you know, that what you do is, you know, not only, I was thinking originally in my head that you're sort of like a scout, that you are like looking at for like to find like a thing like a athletes, but in probably in some ways that what you do is similar to casting.
It is in a way.
Yeah, yeah. Like where casting goes out and yeah, then they say like, hey, do you want to be on Survivor? Like, here, here's a card, like call me,
yeah,
like let us know, tell us what you think. I mean, it's not totally dissimilar. You're finding people that look like they'd be interesting or have a certain look,
yeah,
and then you get them into the mix.
Yeah. That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is,
and I have done a little bit of casting, so I have that, you know, I have that background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's probably some good crossover. It'd be good for casting. I mean, it might be good for dating.
Yeah. Yeah. In some cases.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So is there anything that you could, to answer Garrett's question about, okay, so we've determined that women do potentially sharing.
Yes, some women, and I must say, and I do know, I have a few friends, and they're close friends of mine.
Yeah.
Like, really close friends of mine, and they are tight-lipped.
Yes.
So it is not a universal thing.
They're boring.
You just know they're not ever going to go there. Like,
yes,
that's just, that information is just, they don't ever share that. But then I have other friends who, they share it. That's, you know, kind of more their personality.
Yeah.
And I'm somewhere in between. I might share a little bit.
Yeah.
But not much.
Yes. And so, but this is a good tell that we're talking about here, where it's like when you hear them talking with other people, because it's sort of a trap, I think, where it's like, you know, somebody could really get into all of the details of something, like some intimate experience that they've had, or talking about their day, and because it makes you feel closer to that person when they open up to you about their experience. The key is when you hear them act that way with another person,
yeah,
also.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm not the only person. So they're talking about all of these things with other people. And then you have to like then get to the conclusion, well, what could they be saying about me when they're having these sort of animated, you know, conversations about these sorts of things? And I think this is true in relationships. And then just to tie it back to Survivor, I think that also it's the kind of thing where if you were to be playing in a game of Survivor and somebody is like really opening up to you about blah, 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 and you have to also wonder if they're talking this way to you, could they potentially be talking about you in this way to the other people?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, people show you who they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just have to believe them.
Yes.
And not think that, you know, you're going to be the exception.
Yes.
Because usually you're not going to be the exception.
Yeah.
So that's the only, but my advice to Gareth would be to just, I mean, this is his girlfriend. They're in a relationship. I mean, I would just confront this head on, you know? And I just say, you know, I would just express like, you know, I know that you're a person that likes to share and that's great and whatever. I love that about you. If you do in fact love it about her, but, you know, I just want to know, I want to just have confidence that there are things that are just between you and me.
What if Gareth does something really wild? Like, he brings like a pineapple into the bedroom. Okay. Hear me out on this. Hear me out. So he brings a pineapple into the bedroom, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, yada, okay? Yada.
Then when the female friends are over the house, then he takes out the pineapple, starts cutting the pineapple, and is going to serve pineapple to the guests, okay? And then he can judge by the reactions in the room.
No, this is a test.
Yes, that if they notice, if they start losing it at the sight of the pineapple, then he would know. Yeah.
So you could take my advice, or you could take Rob's.
Well, you let me know which one is the better story, Gareth. Okay? All right. Let's see. Let's keep going. Okay. all right. This is from somebody that starts with R, wants to know. This is kind of a basic question, but how do I know if a girl really likes me or is just flirting with no intent, kind of like a Parvati? Signed, John Fincher. No. How do I know if a girl is really likes me or is just flirting with no intent?
With no intent. Well, I think you're gonna have to press the issue. Like, if you're interested in her, ask her out on a date. Mm-hmm. You know, like, move it along. I think that's, you may not in the immediate moment be able to answer that question, but you can find it out pretty quickly. And other than that, I mean, I would just say if somebody is, first of all, so many people are just terrible at their flirting, but if she's seeming really interested in who you are and what you have to say and actually getting to know you, then that's a good indication that she actually likes you.
I feel like this is another one where I think you sort of need to watch how they are with a third person.
Yeah.
Where if like you see the same sort of like flirtatious thing with like another guy that walks through, it's like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And then, I mean, it's like, you know, what's the context? I mean, do you know this woman? Like, is this like an ongoing thing where every time you see her, she's flirting? I mean, ask her out. If somebody's flirting with you, that's all flirting is like just some way of letting you know I'm interested in you.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes.
Like, pick up that ball and run with it.
Yes. It's also two different things when there's somebody who flirts with everybody but then doesn't really go out with anybody.
Yes.
And then there's a second thing where flirts with everybody and also goes out with everybody. Those are two different things, right?
Yeah.
I don't know which is better or worse.
Yeah. It depends on what he's looking for.
Yeah.
You're interested in a woman and she's flirting with you, like, ask her out.
Yeah.
Like, guys need to ask more, like, more men need to just, like, ask women out on dates.
Yeah. Well, they don't have to. There's Tinder.
Well, even on Tinder, you gotta like, you know, I don't advocate that you're like just chatting with somebody for, you know, days and weeks on Tinder. Like, you know, take it offline.
Can we go back to the Tinder thing for one second?
Get face to face as quickly as possible.
So the guy that says that he likes you, you like him. Now what's the next step? Now you're in like a text message conversation?
So now either I can message him or he can message me.
Yes. And what do you guys talk about? Is it like, hey, should we meet up? Or are you sort of just like, hey, how are you?
Yay, hey, what was his name? Jed.
Jed.
If I were to write to him, I'd probably say like, hey, Jed, like, how's your day going? Like something really simple.
Yeah. And what if he has a boring answer?
Well, if he has a boring answer and he doesn't give me any hook to respond to, then the conversation will probably just end.
Yeah.
So that's a big tip. This is a big tip for whether you're doing Tinder, online dating, or whatever. If you write to someone, like just writing to someone saying hi is like really annoying. I mean, it's lazy, and then it puts the burden on the other person. Like, am I just now supposed to respond hi?
Right.
And then, you know, and then where does it go? Like, it's always good to ask a question.
Like, hey, what do you think of pineapple? Right? And then that's a good hook.
Yeah, that's a really good hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you gotta give people stuff to hold on to.
Yeah.
And
then you make it easy for them to respond to you. Like, and make it engage them, like, you know, make it easy to get a conversation started.
Yeah, you want to be sort of like a point guard and just like setting people up to be able to keep the conversation moving.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to another question here. Let's take one from one of our listeners who wants to go by Greg.
Okay.
Okay. I've let my dating life languish into non-existence throughout most of me being 30-something.
Okay.
Now I'm 42.
Okay.
This happened because in that time, I just never have been in any kind of financially stable situation, and I feel like at my age, this is a prerequisite to any woman contemplating dating me. Now I'm actually at the point in life where I have a good job, I'm paying off debt, and can afford some niceties in life. But here's my dilemma. There's a big, cavernous 12-year gap since I've had a girlfriend. There are surely women half my age that have more dating experience than I do. How do I even start describing this? I've got no skills of flirtation. I've just kind of shut that out of my life because I felt unworthy all this time and I need to change this, but where do I start?
What is his name, Greg?
Greg.
Okay, Greg. First of all, I want to meet Greg because I'm like, I could probably set you up with somebody, but
yes.
I'm like, you're 42, you're single, you want to be with somebody.
Yes,
like,
it has money coming
you, in. You got a good job, you're, you know.
Yes.
You can, yeah, I like want to meet this guy. But, I mean, I think here's the thing, Greg, and this is for everyone, because I talk to people every day about their, you know, relationship history, and every person is self-conscious about it. Like, I have people... I work with people who are like, you know, they're divorced and they're like embarrassed that they're divorced. And mm-hmm. they feel like, you know, how do I explain to people why I got divorced without sounding like a loser and a failure? And then there are people who've never been married and they're like, how do I explain to people how I'm 40 and I've never been married? And people are like, have had tons of committed relationships, but like, you know, never been engaged or anything. And they're like, how do I explain why I've had all these boyfriends and like none of them have worked out? And so it's like, or some people are like, never been in a relationship. I'm like, how do I, you know, so everybody has their self-consciousness.
Baggage.
Everyone has their baggage.
Do you ever watch that show?
No.
Oh, it's good. That's a good show on Game Show Network.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
I'm not even sure if they're making new episodes anymore. Jerry Springer, and they show everybody's baggage.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean, literally?
Yeah, it's like they have, like, suitcases. It's a little bit like Deal or No Deal meets Maury Povich.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, like, he's unzipping his suitcase and there's, like, a baby inside?
No, it's not a real thing. It's like they open the suitcase and it's like, okay, your baggage is that you can only become aroused in... The protozoal. Yes.
Pineapples again.
Okay, well, like, and then the girl has to pay. There's like, it's like a dating game. There's like three guys.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Greg, I would just say, you know, you have to own your story. Everybody has their story. Everybody has their baggage. And if you go into dating feeling like, I'm this loser, I have, like, you're going to project that. Whereas if you just say, like, yeah, I've been focused on my career. I never met the person I believe in love. I never met the person that I saw myself with. And I mean, women are very understanding about men being career focused.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're dating like age appropriate women, like, you know,
right.
If you're trying to date 20-year-olds, I don't know if they even care about anything. I don't know what I cared about when I was 20, but like, you know, but if you're dating women like in their 30s, like in their early 40s, like they'll be understanding about that. So you need practice. And so you need practice going out on dates. And so my recommendation would be to, you know, get online, start talking to women, like mm-hmm. start just going on dates just so, you know, if you're waiting to like meet this one woman you're really crazy about, then it's going to feel like a lot of pressure. Whereas if you're getting in the swing of, you know, meeting people and you'll just be more confident. You need practice.
Go on dates with people that you don't even like.
Yeah. I mean, the bar should not be like, is this somebody I could see myself getting married to? The bar should be like, is this somebody that I could have a drink with on a Thursday night? And it would be, you know, an enjoyable experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you got to slow and steady. Get back on the horse.
Yeah, but don't be self-conscious. Own it.
Don't be self-conscious.
You got what's going for you.
Everybody has baggage.
Email me.
Yes. Okay. What's the oldest people that you would work with? Do you have sort of like an age bracket of like between youngest and oldest?
The oldest person I've worked with is 67.
67. That was a woman?
Yes.
A 67-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have guys that are... in that age range, or
it's challenging. I have found a few of them, but they're not tons of them.
Would you set up a younger guy with an older woman?
Yes, depending on the woman. Yes,
yes.
Depending on the guy, yeah, of course. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's it like? So the guy says, yeah, sure, I'll go out with a woman. She's 67. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. I mean, if he was 40, that's probably not going to work. But if he's 60, if he's 48, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it depends. If he's 50, you know, if he's 50.
Was that the survivor that you set up?
Yes.
Okay. Good to know.
It was Malcolm.
Yes. It was Malcolm. So oh, funny. My God. Oh, my God. Mr. Survivor. We had this whole secret.
Only the best.
Was it that the woman that he was sitting on her lap in the picture?
Yes.
Yes.
They're in love.
They're from the Airbnb ad. Wow. Wow. Who knew?
Making magic happen here.
Who knew? All right. Let's see. Here's another question. This is from a guy. We'll call him Jay. That's an initial, not a name. It says, I consider myself a decent guy, but I'm also well aware that I'm not blessed with good looks. Because of this, I have absolutely zero self-confidence when it comes to women. I'm pushing 40, and it has been incredibly difficult for me to meet women, and because of this lack of confidence to myself. I work a lot, don't have a lot of time to go out and meet women, though I do know many great women who I'm interested in. However, I believe that they have no interest in me, and I struggle with the loneliness. What could I do to find the self-confidence that I could be lacking? I'm interested in finding a relationship to help me get over the loneliness, but can't bring myself to ask out a woman because I don't believe that she's interested. And by the way, I have met Jay and being hard on himself.
I'm sure. Of course he's being hard on himself. You didn't have to tell me that. I knew he was. This is you know, I mean, he's already identified the problem. The problem is his confidence. The problem is not his looks. You know, there are people who look every kind of way imaginable.
Yes.
Who are, you know, who have horrible self-confidence, and there are people who look every kind of way imaginable that have amazing self-confidence. So this is not about your looks. This is about how you feel about yourself. And God, I wish I could work with this guy. I want to work with him. I want to work with Greg because it hurts me to hear this because, you know, I feel like he's really standing in his own way. And so it's really just, it's about, you know, cultivating that confidence. I'm sure that there are many women who would really be happy to go out with him. And the other thing is to, you know, but to bear in mind, and this is not directed at Greg because he's suffering too much from being hard on himself. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of guys who I hear talk about like, oh, you know, women only want guys that look like this. They only want guys that look like that. And I think just be mindful of the fact that, you know, really what it's about is what you're bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. So it's like a lot of these guys will complain about like, oh, women don't want to go out with guys that look like me. They don't, you know, it's like, well, are you trying to date supermodels? Because that's the case a lot of times. And you know these guys, Rob.
Yes. Yes.
You know these guys. And they're just like, and then they get this like kind of chip on their shoulder. Like, I'm a nice guy. Why won't anyone go out with me? And it's like, well, you're not that nice because you've got a chip on your shoulder and you're kind of an asshole about it, you know?
Yes.
And you're dating, you want to date women because you think that they're hot and not because of anything else. And anybody who would be interested in you, you wouldn't want to date, you know? So it's like this whole cycle. But that's just kind of a tangent. That's not directed at Greg. Greg, confidence. Confidence is key. Yeah.
But this wasn't Greg.
This wasn't Greg. Well, Jay.
Greg had a similar question.
No, this is Jay. Sorry.
That's for
Jay.
Both of them.
Jay.
That's for both.
Sorry.
Of them.
I don't have these names in front
That's
of
me. That's fine. Who is having less self-confidence out there? Is it the men or the women?
Oh, it's everyone.
Everyone.
And that's what everyone needs to remember. It's like everyone is so, we're all so afraid of being rejected, but everyone is afraid of being rejected.
So everybody in all these relationships is like, oh my God, I suck. No, I suck. No, I suck more. You shouldn't be with me. I suck.
Wow,
I can't meet anybody.
Sound
I
like
suck.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I mean, I think, you know, in dating everyone, nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to be, you know, nobody wants to feel less than great about themselves and be perceived as being less than great. And so everyone, we all have that fear. So just remember that. Just because somebody looks like, you look at somebody and you're like, wow, that person really looks like they got it together and they're so this and they're so that. Like, they still have insecurities. You know, we all still have insecurities. So love yourself.
All right. Let me give you another question. This is from one of our female listeners. She writes, I met a guy at a bar and he seemed really interested in me. Turns out we went to the same university. I asked when he graduated and he said, way before your time. And well, it turned out that I was merely 2 years younger than him rather than a decade younger, like he guessed. But rather than that being common ground, there was a noticeable shift once he learned that I was in my 30s and not my 20s, and the conversation quickly ended after. Should I lie about or never even mention my age? What about dating sites? or must I look into going the cougar route? I'd rather not, but it seems appealing after the situation.
Oh my goodness, cougar route. What? You're in your 30s, honey. You're not 50.
Well, I believe a cougar, by definition, I believe that is a woman over 35 with a man younger than 25. I think I shouldn't have to coach you on this, Francesca. You should know this. You should know this as a dating and relationships coach.
Well, maybe I don't go around calling people names.
Maybe
have you ever thought
you should
about
go to urbandictionary.com sometime and look into this.
Well, okay. That, you know,
this is a big thing.
Okay, this is a big thing, but this is my instinct. My suspicion is that, what is her name?
Not given.
Okay. My suspicion is that she is self-conscious about her age. Before this conversation with this guy, she probably has some feeling about the fact that she's, however, you know, 30, whatever, and she's single, and she feels that her age is a liability. So my suspicion is that that is something that existed before this conversation with this man. I would bet money on that. And so it could have been that he was like, oh, you're only 2 years younger than me, not 10. I'm not interested in you. Maybe that was what he was thinking. Maybe that's not what he was thinking. That's your perception. So that's, like, I feel like don't use that incident as justification for how you're feeling right now.
Yeah. Should women lie about their age?
And the answer to that is no.
No.
You should not lie about your age. You have to think about the end game here. If there is a guy who doesn't want to date you because you're 35 and he only wants to date women who were 28, that's not the guy for you. You know, and if you lie on an online dating site about your age, when a person finds out how old you are, they're going to not only, if they're a person who judges you for your age, they're going to do that anyway. And then they're also going to judge you as being a liar, which you are.
Yeah, I do. I hear what you're saying. I definitely do. But I'm just being devil's advocate here.
Do it.
It's
I
like
can take it.
The sort of thing where isn't it better though if somebody's going to automatically discard you because of your age? Are we saying that this guy isn't worth it anyway, or is it the kind of thing where it's like after the fact you can sort of do the damage control, but you've already got your foot in the door? It's a little bit like lying on your resume to get the interview, but then you really nail the interview.
Well, there's a difference between, you know, on your resume. Should I lie about my age
on my Tinder profile? That's what I really want to know.
No.
Okay.
We got to get Nicole on the phone. If there's somebody who won't date you because of your age, then that is just not a person. I mean, your age, it is what it is. I mean, you are who you are. You know, there's no, you know, I hear a lot of people saying this, or like, well, just get your foot in the door. But how would you feel if you, you know, went out with somebody thinking one set of very basic facts about them, and then they were like, oh, actually, you know, I mean, you know, it's just not a good start. If you're looking for an actual relationship.
Do guys lie about their age also? Because I'm starting to get to the age where I feel like I need to start lying about my age. I start lying about my age?
No, you should not start lying about your age.
But I could pull it off, though.
You look like you're, I don't know, 19.
19. 20. I was going to say 22.
You look very young.
Yes.
If I met you and you told me you were a college student, I would believe you.
Yeah, but it's only because I'm very immature. This is what it comes off as, very youthful.
I mean, I think, yes, men do lie about their age. What I've seen some guys do on online, because people do use certain search parameters online, and, you know, they may cut it off at 40 or whatever. I have seen people lie about their age in, like, their profile settings,
yes,
and then in the actual body of their profile say, I'm actually 43, I think if you're going to lie, at least do that.
Yes.
But don't just lie.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we have another special person who's looking for some relationship advice. We have on the phone right now.
Yes.
We have a woman who is going by the initial N. Is that correct, caller?
That is correct.
Caller, are you there? Yes.
I am there.
Yes.
Hi, N. Let's see. Is it
Hi.
Nancy? Is it Nelly? Is it... Sorry, Nina?
It's anonymous.
Anonymous. Okay.
Anonymous.
Anonymous, is it true that you needed some relationship coaching from Franny?
Yes, I'm wondering if I can create a profile for a married woman.
A married woman. Okay, well, this ties into what we're talking
about. It's
so
interesting. You have a similar question to Rob.
This
Rob
is like the Pina Colada song.
Rob was wanting, I know, so maybe, I don't know, maybe I should just set you guys up. Some crazy coincidence.
Yes, you sound perfect.
Oh, okay, sign me up.
What do you mean you want to set up a profile for a married person? Like on Facebook? Like you want to change your status to married on Facebook?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yes. Nicole, all right, I'm sorry, I outed you.
Anonymous.
We were talking about Tinder, and I had Franny show me how it works on her phone because I was curious about it, but I felt like I was going to be in trouble if I made a Tinder profile. Is that a correct statement?
I feel like I want to create a Tinder profile because it feels like it's really fun to, what is it, right swipe, left swipe.
Wait, how do you know so much about it?
I follow Corinne.
We should have gotten Corinne in here with us today.
That was good, but yeah. She has like a real
she
job during
real
the
job.
Day. You have
she
to talk
does.
To her at nighttime.
I know. That's what I normally do.
And then you have to drink a lot of wine also when you interview Corinne at nighttime.
Yeah.
And then you're hungover. But I feel like her dating life is too crazy for this podcast.
I love Corinne.
Yes, very fun.
She's awesome.
She's the best.
Very fun. Well, why do you want to get on Tinder so bad?
You think it would be fun. Well, you know, this is what you do.
Here's the difference, though, Franny, I would be interested. I would like to know, I at least would like the bump in the self-esteem of feel like, oh, okay, well, at least some people are out there and like me. I feel like Nicole likes the part about where she gets to judge the other people. Is that fair? Is that right?
Yes. I'm not gonna lie.
So I think that for that reason, and I'm being totally objective here, based on this reasoning, I think that Nicole can have a Tinder profile and you cannot.
Could we compromise? What if I made a Tinder profile, but I said that I was gay? Okay,
yeah,
at least then I could at least feel like people are I'm finding out who is
potentially
thumbs up.
How would you do out there?
And then Nicole could take my phone and then say yes or no to all of the guys that she sees. Is that a good compromise, Nicole?
The family that Tinders together.
This is a solid plan. But actually, and also what I recommend doing, Nicole, is hang out with your single girlfriends. And Tinder for them. I do that all the time. I've taken people's phones and Tindered for them. I do that all the time. And actually, I even have one of my friends. She has a 6-year-old son. I let him Tinder on my phone just because it's hilarious.
So you let a 6-year-old?
I let a 6-year-old
on Tinder. That seems like the Child Protective Services.
I do
because
he has a lot of opinions. He'll be like, oh no, definitely not this guy. Oh, this guy looks crazy. No, this guy looks like he does crazy things. He's gonna try to make you do crazy things.
Whoa!
No. Like he'll
like what kind of crazy? Thing.
Like, if he's like some picture of him, rappelling down a cliff or something, he's like, no. He says no.
That's dangerous.
He's too dangerous. Yeah. He wants me to be with somebody safe.
Is that the move you want?
He's looking out.
It's wonderful. I love that kid.
Is that the move that you want to put sort of an adventurous pic on your Tinder page? Like, you don't want to put sitting at a computer or something like that?
Sitting at a computer is not that exciting.
Podcasting, yeah.
Podcasting is awesome. Just don't be too cliched about it because, every woman has a yoga picture and that's really,
You hear that, Nicole?
Everyone has a yoga.
I changed my picture.
What is it now?
It's my face.
A face picture.
See, that's good. Faces are good. It's like, and lots of women have pictures with mustaches and it's like, lots of guys have pictures with sedated tigers. Like that is so lame.
Sedated tigers?
Lame.
No,
lame.
That sounds awesome.
It's not awesome,
I think
Rob.
I have a picture.
Yeah.
It's not awesome.
Nicole, would you swipe left or right for a sedated tiger picture?
Well, I'm not sure which is like and which is not like.
Franny doesn't even know.
I can't remember. I think left is no.
Left is
right,
yeah,
and
like
right is
detail.
Yes.
It's a right-handed world.
Yeah.
It's a right-handed world.
So yeah, right, yes.
Sorry to all the left-handed listeners of the podcast. I'm sorry.
No judgment.
All right, Nicole, something else that we wanted to know. Are you an oversharer?
An oversharer, like on Facebook?
No, well, I guess on Facebook. But like when you and your friends are together, are you an oversharer?
Basically, Rob wants to know if your friends know what his penis looks like.
Well, I didn't want to know that, Franny. I didn't want to know that. I just wanted to know and overshare.
I keep some of that private because he's already a hot commodity. I don't want my friends going after him.
That's right. That's right. You're going to make them jealous.
And then, they're going to want a piece of this.
They're going to want a piece of this. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Nicole, what are your feelings about pineapples?
Don't answer
on
that,
pizza?
Nicole.
Yeah, like on a pizza. How about?
I can't be friends with anybody who does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
not
weird.
Doesn't like it.
That's weird. I don't like that either. That's really
weird. You don't like it either, right? It's not normal.
I don't get it. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
All right. Nicole.
That's a deal breaker.
All right. Do you have any Valentine's Day questions that you want to ask Franny?
Yes. Okay. So what is the proper gift for a woman to give a man for Valentine's Day? Like, do we even need to?
Interesting.
Does a woman need to give a gift to a man for Valentine's Day?
I think it's always nice to give a gift, to give something thoughtful.
Yes.
I mean, I will preface this by saying that I am not the biggest gift giver. I'm not that into gifts. Like, I mean, I'm perfectly happy to get gifts, but I'm not, like, the biggest gifting person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give somebody, I think this is my policy on gifts. If I have something that's truly thoughtful and I know the person will love, it makes me really happy to give it.
Yes.
So giving a gift that's like a crappy gift just for the sake of giving is like, that to me is like a waste. Like I think it would be better for you to do something for that person.
Yeah, because Nicole is very good about gifts on Valentine's Day. Recently, a couple of years ago, Nicole on Valentine's Day that I got her a nice piece of jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And she got me a deck of playing cards and dice from CVS. Right?
Did you enjoy?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. It was from Rite Aid.
Did you enjoy those cards and that? And the?
No, she never opened them.
They were for me.
They're for you. You didn't? Did you enjoy?
They were
them?
Sexy dice, Franny.
Oh, they were sexy dice.
And the last I saw that the baby had them.
Oh my gosh. At least make sure he doesn't swallow one.
They were
big. He couldn't choke.
They were sexy dice, but they weren't really that sexy. They were like Rite Aid sexy dice. They weren't like Hustler Store.
One was like rub, and the other one was like a body part. So it'd be like rub my arm.
Oh, yeah,
God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hot.
It was very funny. But you know what?
That's
year,
funny. That's
a
good gift.
Look,
you're still getting mileage out of that gift. That was a great gift, Nicole.
Yeah, yes. You still get a lot of mileage on it. Do I need to get you a gift for this Valentine's Day?
I think this Valentine's Day you get a pass. We have different circumstances. We're moving.
Yes. All right. Oh. So you have a lot going on.
Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow.
We have a lot going on, Franny.
Yeah, that is a lot.
A lot going on. All right. Any other questions for Franny? That Franny is trying to talk me into getting the same haircut that she has. Can I do it, Nicole?
You know what? He's had it once and it knocked me off. I don't know if we can handle another one.
Oh, see, it's too sexy.
No. Yeah, Franny, I would love to have your haircut. I really would. I want
to. But Franny has the head to have that haircut.
You see
you
this?
You don't have the head for it.
She says, oh, like.
But you need to have the head shape.
She says, you don't have a nice head like Franny. If you did, then you could have that. She says, no, I can't. I'm not allowed. She doesn't want it.
Yeah.
So
you gotta do what she says on this. On this, you have to listen to her on this.
I liked it. It was so low maintenance.
I know. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
All right. All right. Nicole, anything else?
It's all I can think of. I know how to use Tinder. I think I'm set.
Do you have any advice for the women out there who are single this Valentine's Day?
Yeah, what's your married woman's here's a question. What do you think is the biggest mistake you see your single friends making when they're trying to meet someone?
I think people try too hard, and if they just let go, like and just
frozen.
Have fun, like it comes back to you.
Wait, so, if you have fun, it comes back to you. I agree. That's what I said. You have to enjoy your life. You have to just cultivate the joy in your life. And
stop looking for it. I feel like women obsess over having to find, like, a boyfriend or someone to, you know, to spend the rest of their life with when, you know, their life is passing them by.
Yeah.
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 Nicole, do you like this? And when we could just get you on the podcast, we could just call you?
This is great.
Yeah, okay. Good.
I'm running around with no pants on.
Yes. All right. Take it easy. All right. All right, Nicole, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye. It's so nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, bye. All right, Franny. So there you have it. We're going to talk about Tinder. Maybe this is a new phase in the relationship.
The pineapple phase.
Yes. I can find out who, I can get a self-esteem bump and find out who likes my picture. Nicole can judge people
why don't
and
we
say
just take
who
a
doesn't
survey.
Like my picture.
Why don't we just take a survey? We can just put a picture of you on Twitter.
And, on Twitter?
And Facebook. And we can just say, and
can we can we put me on hot or not?
We can put you. We can do our own hot or not.
No,
for you.
It won't be favorable for you.
No, and we can do an anonymous survey. One question.
An anonymous survey?
Yeah, and the question is just yes or no.
No, it's going to be a resounding no, Franny. I'll tell you that right now. I don't need to get that vote. All right, Franny, how could people get a hold of you if they want to take advantage of your services?
If people want to get a hold of me, they can do so. Via Twitter, via Facebook,
yes.
They could go to my website, which is francescahoagie.com, and they could actually, if you go to my website, you can actually schedule a time to talk to me on the phone.
Is it an advantage or a disadvantage when they contact you to be a Survivor fan?
It's fine. I mean, yes. As long as they're not contacting me to help them get on Survivor. Yes. I can't do that. I can't yes. help you get on Survivor.
All you can do is you can help people date a Survivor.
I can help you date like a Survivor.
Like a Survivor. So somebody that seems like they would be on Survivor?
Yeah, I can help you have more fun and adventure and excitement
yes.
in your dating life.
Will you be watching the new season of Survivor?
I will probably watch it a little bit with my New York Survivor crew.
Yes,
with the wine and cheese crew. So I always catch at least a few episodes with those guys.
Does the wine and cheese crew, do they get nervous when you keep going out to the West Coast?
Yeah, actually, there was, Eliza is worried that I'm going to... Yeah, you know.
But Eliza was out here.
Eliza was out here, which was great. So we got to hang out, and I got to take her to some of my favorite LA places. But like, I'm supposed to go back to New York on Monday, and I've already changed my ticket, and I'm staying another week because I just can't face the cold just yet.
Well, there's a lot of snow and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so the wine and cheese group is getting back together for Survivor 30.
Are you excited about this season?
I'm very excited about the season. And of course, we know the wine and cheese crew. That is a strictly white collar group, right? No blue collar people welcome in the wine and cheese.
Oh, stop it.
Yes, it's very upscale.
What are you talking about?
Why? Who's blue collar in the wine and cheese alliance? Who's blue collar in that group? I'll give you Courtney.
Yeah, Courtney. Courtney is not, she's not white collar crime.
Everybody else there, that's a white collar crew drinking the wine and enjoying the brie.
Do you consider, I guess she's kind of up to go. I don't know. There are no rules.
No rules is no collar. There's lots of that. The white collar makes the rules.
I'm not white collar. I'm not wearing a collar.
Yes. No. Franny, you're making the rules up for the people that are dating. So that's you might be no collar at this point.
I'm no collar, so
you might be no
there.
Collar at this point.
There we go.
But you have a white collar background.
Yes, I do. But everyone is welcome.
Everybody's welcome. I heard that everybody is not welcome at the wine and cheese
who's not
viewing
welcome?
Party. Any people that want to show up, I hear.
Andrea? Andrea, she's not white collar.
Yeah, we've confirmed that she's kind of no collar.
She's no collar. She's part of the crew.
She's no collar, but no blue collar. Maybe Courtney. That's as close as you're getting.
I got to think about that.
Don't tell me Snowy or Charlie Herschel or any of these guys, Reed and Josh or any of them are a blue collar.
All right. Well, who do you want us to hang out with? Who do you want us to invite? Who lives in New York City?
Let's get some blue-collar people in the mix. Let me do some research on that. What about Tony? Tony's a blue-collar guy.
Oh, yeah. He's in Jersey.
That would be huge if he could come and visit,
Jersey.
Right?
Jersey. Okay.
This is huge. I needed this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna work on that.
All right. Would you ever match up a blue collar person and a white collar person?
Oh, hey, of course.
You don't care about profession. If somebody is like, hey, I'm a doctor and like I'm a bartender, that's fine.
I think it depends on the people and other factors.
Okay.
But that is not necessarily a deal breaker.
What about height difference? Anything you? What's the biggest height difference you would get?
So the this height thing, I'm like, I just want everybody to get over the height thing.
Yeah.
And I am a tall person.
You're very tall.
And I don't care.
You don't care.
I'm not a heightist.
You would date a very short guy.
I would date somebody who's shorter than me.
Yes.
I would date someone shorter than me. I'm not
a lot shorter than you?
If he was amazing.
If he was amazing.
I mean, but anybody that I would date anyway has to be pretty amazing.
Has to be amazing. Okay. Yeah. It's a high bar.
It's a high bar.
Even for short men.
even for tall men, it's a high bar.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. All right. So check out Franny. She's at Dear Franny on Twitter.
Yep.
Franny, this was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, I hope we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to. It was great.
All right. Franny, I like to give out a hashtag on these podcasts.
Yeah.
Tell people to... if they made it to the end.
You know what it has to be.
Yes, I do. Okay.
It has to be pineapple.
Do you want to modify pineapple at all or just pineapple?
Hashtag sexy pineapple.
Sexy pineapple. it would certainly be indeed. All right. Sexy pineapple. All right. Franny, thank you so much. I would love to hear what you guys have to say in the comments. And make sure that you subscribe to the podcast at robswebsite.com/iTunes for the iTunes feed. Or, of course, you could get all of our podcasts and much, much more on the Podcast One app, which is also available on iOS and Android. Thanks, everybody at Podcast One, for having Franny and I here today. Franny, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Bye.